Thank you so much. Good to have see our children and family up here. And it's great to worship in this freezing cold tundra city of Houston. A little colder today because of what happened last night. We won't mention it. This year, there was a poll that came out, and it's a little disappointing and discouraging, but really, we can understand it. They polled the American population and asked them how many of them would consider themselves Christian. And it went down for a long, long time from the low to mid 80 percentile to 70. Now, that's not surprising because there are a lot of Christians only by name. And they decided, you know what, it's not worth keeping that name anymore this year. After all, the Christian name, the Christian faith, has been assailed and assaulted in so many ways. But 70%, you would think that's still real high. And then there are other polls that came out, and they asked how many are evangelical Christians. Evangelical Christians would be inclusive of those who believe in the Bible, who believe in being born again, who believe in heaven and hell, and so on, the typical standard things in our statement of faith. And it's only about 7%. That brings it to about maybe 25 million or so in America. You know, I have met a lot of Christians in my life, and a lot that don't really act like Christians. And sometimes I wonder, you know, if I ask somebody who, and he says he's a Christian, but he lives totally different kind of lives, what is the issue then? And, you know, it is not for us to necessarily decide, you know, who's on the right path or not. You know, we can't judge everybody's heart. That's not what we want to do. But sometimes I think there are basically two reasons. One, if a person is really a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, sometimes there is something in their life that is just hindering them, stopping them from living that vibrant, passionate life. And the other reason is there's a bunch that are not real believers. And they saturate our churches in America. They come and worship. They fill the pews. But nevertheless, they're not. Now, I begin by stating this because I want to let you know that as we go through the book of 1 Corinthians, you will find that the message we find here, that we hear about, that we read about, states something different. There is a man who is so passionate about God, who's writing by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, to us, telling us and describing to us what the Christian life is about. And it's so different, so awesome, so exciting. And in this particular passage here, as we have gone through the Apostle Paul speaking about how we are free because we have come to know Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, we are free to do things. But yet at the same time, I have a purpose in my life, and because of that purpose, I'm going to limit my freedom. I'm going to make things happen in my life because of the desire that I have for Jesus Christ and for the gospel message. And today, this passage, simple passage linking to last week's, it talks about a disciplined life. In fact, I entitled the message, A Challenge for Excellence in Discipline. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul uses the illustrations of sport, not because we're in the World Series, he didn't do that, but he used it because there is an understanding amongst the people there. Let me give you a little background for a moment. Now, you know, one of the biggest sports events of the world, in the world, is the Olympic Games. It's been going on for thousands of years, in fact, and you know where it began? It began with the Greek culture. The Olympics is something that the Greeks formed. And they had it back then. So everybody in the Greek sphere, literally the Roman Empire, in fact, they understood what the Olympic Games were. They had all those kind of things, maybe not as much as we have now, where they probably don't have things like ping pong and stuff like that. But they certainly had wrestling, they had running, they had javelin throwing, you know, all those things, those sporty things. And so the people there understood that. Not only that, in the city of Corinth, in which this letter was written to the Christians there, they had another game. It's called the Isthmian Games. It is for that area. And they had that every 3 years. I suppose the Olympics was probably every 4 years back then, too. I'm not sure. But definitely every 3 years, there will be the Isthmian Games. And in that game, people will come, and they will come, and they will begin to, you know, qualify for it, and eventually they will pursue it, and, you know, there are rewards for it. There will be crowns, and the crowns are kind of interesting. Not those kind of crowns. The crowns were not like what we have now, gold medals, right? They would have these little wreaths that they would put on the heads of these champions. And so when Paul talks about the crowns, you understand what it is. So when he began to tell them what it is about, they understood. They understood. They understood in the context of sports. So there are three thoughts here that we want to look at that's really important. First of all, the Apostle Paul gave a challenge. A challenge. He said to the Christians here, look, guys, you are born again believers in Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. You've been given that. But I want to give you a challenge. The challenge is this. Only one gets the prize. Now, he's not saying that only one person is going to go to heaven. But he's giving them a challenge that they understood. You know, one of the things that we have today, and it's kind of interesting. I'm not crazy about it. Maybe some of you bought into it a little bit more. A lot of athletic events. My boys, you know, one of them anyway, was into all the athletic things, you know. Basketball, soccer, baseball, he was always doing those things. And I would go to the games. And when I went to the games, I would be rooting for him to do good, for his team to win, right? That's what you do. But nowadays, we have something else. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so we have something called participation trophies. We just show up, you know? You don't have to do anything. Just dance around a little bit. We start them off little. Hey, you got one, you got one, you got one, you got one. Somehow it doesn't work, you know. You can give those things, and they're like, oh, look at mom, I got a participation trophy. What does that mean? Oh, I was there. You know, sometimes we just think of the Christian life as like that. We're there. You know, when I share the gospel with people, I tell them this. I say, you know what? God has a wonderful plan for your life. And because of your sin, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ so he'll forgive your sins. And then, you know what? You get something called eternal life. It's awesome, great. And the person says, what do I have to do? Oh, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is believe it and receive it, right? So we talk about that. The gospel is grace, God's grace. You and I cannot do anything to earn it. We can't earn it. It's not like we participate and fight hard and then we get salvation. No, salvation is given to us. That is totally true. So I stand here by the grace of God. I gave my life to Jesus Christ in 1970, and I know that my name is written in the book of life. I know that I'm going to have eternal life. I'm going to have heaven awaiting me. I know that. And what did I do to deserve it? Nothing. I was not worthy of any of it. God gave it to me by his grace. So that's what you and I have when you give your life to Jesus Christ. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And then sometimes, though, somewhere along the line, I don't know where, that seems to be good enough for a lot of Christians. And that's it. You say, of course that's good enough. That's eternal life. You know, the passage that said the last shall be first, the first shall be last, right? You know what that verse means. If you don't understand it, you need to understand. The only way that's possible is that everybody gets there at the same time. The last and first. That's eternal life. Okay? We all get there. Praise God. But there's something else about the Christian life. Because when God gives us that life, when the Spirit of God comes into our lives, he transforms us. We become something else. We become another kind of person. And we have passions. We have desires. We have all those things that says, you know what? I want to love God. I want to love his purpose. I want to be righteous because he's God. I want to have his passion for what he wants. All those things come into our lives. That's why I always question when somebody says, I'm a Christian, but he lives like a scoundrel, could care less about God. I'm saying, did you really give your life to Jesus? Because the transformation is real. And when that transformation happens, all right, then suddenly there, you want to do things. You want to be things. So it's not just like, oh, I just want to participate. You know, I'm a Christian. That's good enough. No, no, no. Christians have a passion. They want to serve the Lord. They want to be what he wants them to be. And I want to tell you, that takes an effort. That is not just given to you by God's grace. That is given to you by God's grace, and then he calls us to do something with it. He calls us to do something with our lives. It takes effort. So the challenge here is this. The Apostle Paul said, you know, you are competing, and only one gets the prize. He's not saying you're the only one, but you need to compete. You need to live out your Christian life as if you want to get that prize, which means a lot. I think sometimes we don't understand that as Christians. We're so glad to be Christians. Now, initially, I guarantee you, if you're born again believer, the first year of your life, the second year of your life, the third year of your life, you're all excited about serving God. You are. You really are. I was. I would do anything and everything. But after a little while, you settle down. You get to a good church. You know, you're learning the Bible, and you're studying it. You got involved in a good fellowship. And next thing you know, all your things about the church and people and on. And next thing you know, you just settle down into a malaise in which you are saying, well, I'm good. I'm good. So there's no competing anymore. It is just a participation trophy that you desire. And that's all that matters to you. The Apostle Paul told the people that, no, don't do that. You are in a race, and all the runners run, but you must run in such a way that you get the prize. I mean, you are trained. You are working hard. You are doing the things that will make you number one, not because you want to just win, but because you want to do things with excellence. And that is going to take some requirements. Here in this passage, the Apostle Paul talks about three. These are three things that we as God's people, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, with our names in the book of life already, right? We have to do these three things. These are very important things. First of all, you need to go into strict discipline. That's what it says. You know what that means? That means you have to get a hold of your life in such a way that it is not just random shooting all over the place. A person who is born again in Jesus Christ, a person who knows God, a person who desires to serve God, you have a plan. And that plan requires strict discipline. Let me tell you something. And I remind myself of this, and Barbara reminds you every single week here. If you're not praying, if you're not spending time in prayer, wrestling your concern before God, presenting to him your desires, bringing to him the things that are important, and just hearing from him. If you're not doing that, you're not a part of this training. If you're not opening your Bible and you're studying it, you should say, you know what, I can get that when Pastor Dan preaches. You know, for 25, 30 minutes once a week, you're reading the Word. Are you kidding me? That's not called strict training. Now, I've never been really that athletic in the sense of training. I go to the gym, and I think it helps me, but it's not helping that much. But when I was young, I was in two basketball teams for years. And we had basketball practice. You know what time we had it? 7 in the morning. And that includes winter time. I would ride my bicycle out there with my basketball stuck in the back, you know, and I would go there because I am going to train so that I can start in this team, I can compete in the tournaments, we can win trophies. That's what we did. That's what you do when you're in an athletic event. I'm hoping those Astro players are practicing today because they couldn't hit a lick yesterday. You know, you got to train in order to succeed. And that's what Paul is talking about. You need to train yourself. You need to get to a place where you discover the Word of God, learn the Word of God, that you can speak the Word of God. Let me tell you, when I talk to people, it doesn't take me very long for me to know who knows the Word of God and who doesn't. And shame on us if we don't know the Word of God. Shame on us if we don't pray. Shame on us if we don't do the things that are required in the Word of God for strict training. If we want to be excellent, if we want to do the things that God wants us to do, if he wants to be effective in ministry, particularly in this ministry, which is sharing the Word of God and winning people to Jesus Christ, we need to know the Word of God. Remember a long time ago, a pastor's wife, who was a part of a denomination, was sharing about, or somebody was sharing about her to Barbara, how this woman who we led to the Lord, she had mentioned to this woman, this pastor's wife, about, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to get to heaven someday. And immediately she responded by saying, oh, don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Of course you will. Instead of saying, wait, let me hear about your salvation. And if she asked that, she would have known that this lady never had a salvation experience. Now, those are the kind of things we as God's people need to be trained in to understand that just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean he or she knows Jesus Christ. And when they say something like that, you say, oh, because of my strict training, because of my understanding of what the gospel is about, I'm going to take this opportunity to share with this person about Jesus Christ and lead that person to himself. These things are things that we can do. The Apostle Paul says, you know what? I'm going to go into strict training. That's really important. Second thing he says, you know what else? I'm not going to run aimlessly. I don't know if you ever seen people in a marathon or a race running aimlessly. They don't do that. I do remember watching a video. It was really funny, I thought. It was of dog racing, actually. It wasn't people. And these greyhounds are running out, right? They're chasing this fake rabbit. But one of the greyhound decided he wanted to chase something else. And it just kind of went all over the place out there, you know. It was really funny watching the dog chase something else. And you know what? That's sometimes what we do. As God's people, we have a particular race. We have a direction. We know where we're going. And when we're in strict training, we train so that we can run that race. It is a requirement. I don't know how many of you have a race you're in that you know. Are you running a race aimlessly? Really, serious. You look at your life, go back home later, maybe, you know, even today sometime, and you say, what is my race? Where am I headed? Is it just to keep on living life like this? Is that what it's about? Or do I have a purpose and a direction and a goal in which God has placed upon my heart? You know, sometimes we think, oh, that's for you, pastor. That's for missionaries. No. God has given that to every one of us. There is a race that he has given to us. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, we need to run that race, not like aimlessly. Not like, I don't know where I'm going, you know. Oh, over here, I'll go over here. We meet people all the time that have no purpose in their lives, no particular direction. You know, it could be here today, there tomorrow. It's just wherever the wind is blowing. That's not a race. You can't run races that way. You will not win. You're not running like you're winning. Because in order to have discipline and excellence in your life for the purpose that God has given to you, you need to know where you're going. The Apostle Paul here, specifically talking to the people in Corinth about being able to win people to Jesus Christ, being able to share with their loved ones, their neighbors and families about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about. You have to have an aim. You have to have a purpose and a direction. Third thing, the requirement. He says, I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. Interesting, right? Interesting sporting event, analogy. So I'm just not beating the air. That's called shadow boxing. You know, people do that. Sometimes you just do that to show off. But not if you're really in the ring. If you're really in the ring, you are going to box and you're going to beat your opponent up. That's what the purpose is. And he says, you know what? I strike a blow. He said, I strike a blow in verse 27. It is my opponent. You know what my opponent, he says? My opponent is my body. He says, I'm going to beat my body to a pulp so that I can make my body a slave. He's saying the requirement is that I have to have discipline in my body. You know, one of the biggest struggles of today amongst Christians, and it just destroys your testimonies, it destroys your morale, you know, it destroys your life. It's because you have no discipline over your body. You have no discipline in what you're watching and seeing. You have no discipline in what you're saying. You have no discipline in the choices you make in your life. You have no discipline with your legs where you should not go. This is one of the stuff that's killing the Christian community. Man, I don't even have to mention the high-profile pastors that are you kidding me? Why would you do something like that? Why would you go to those places? But, you know, it's common ground. And when you look at polls, and I don't want to take too many polls, you're talking about 60, 70 percentiles of born-again Christians who are succumbing to these kinds of things, things of the world, things of the flesh, things that they can, you know what, control by God's grace. If they will beat the body, I'm not saying, you know, flogging yourself, not that stuff, but to discipline yourself. And you have to do it, and you have to do it regularly. I still remember when I was a young man, I mean, we all young people have this situation. You grow up with it, your testosterone is coming along and so forth. I remember strictly speaking to the Lord and asking the Lord to help me. Because as a young man, you know, a single man, you know, you see pretty women around. But I said, Lord God, focus my eyes so that I will never turn my head, ever. It was not easy. But, you know, there will be this thing, you know, just something that comes into my mind. And I'm like, I'm not moving. My eyes going straight. I'm just not. As a teenager, I started that. I asked the Lord to help me with that. And I continue to do that. It's a discipline that God has given me grace in. Allow me to do it. But I made a choice to do that. So that I would never, ever, ever, you know, not that I never fail, but, you know, I would not do that and ever look at another human being as something else that I should not. You can do that. If you haven't done that, you can do that now. There's other things, too, things that you don't do, discipline your life on the computers, places that you don't go to. You say, I can't help it when I go there. Well, walk another street, take another route, spend another 15 minutes driving around those places. These are choices you make, things I don't want to say. You know what? Bite your tongue. Do something. And Paul said, I strike a blow to my body. I make it my slave so that after I preach to others, he says, I myself would not be disqualified for the prize. What does that mean? The stake is high. I want to tell you, and I believe this with all my heart, it isn't that you will lose your salvation. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, say, and then you fail in these things, you say, oh, I'm not going to go to heaven. No, don't think that. Don't think that. That's the enemy telling you things that you shouldn't believe in. That's not it. If you gave your life to Jesus Christ, genuinely gave your life to Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God came into your life and transformed you, you are going to be saved. But you might miss out on a whole bunch of other things. He says, I don't want to be disqualified. See, in the Isthmian game and also games and also the Olympics, the people will come. They have to qualify. You don't just get in the game. You have to qualify. Just like the U.S., you know, soccer team, the men, they didn't qualify. They're not going to be in the World Cup. They missed it. So the people there, they understood what qualification means. You have to come in a certain way so that you can qualify. And the Apostle Paul is saying, guys, you need to qualify. You don't want to be disqualified. You don't want to live your life nilly-willy here and there and doing whatever it is. And suddenly you say, oh, here I am, God. I can serve you now. Oh, no, 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 no. That doesn't happen. The qualification is high. The qualification is severe. It is something that we need to do. And the Apostle Paul is saying that he doesn't want to be disqualified. Can you imagine that? That Paul would say something like that? What does that mean? He says, listen, you know, they do it to get a crown in verse 25 that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. I want you to understand that God's people, as you serve the Lord, you don't do it for that. No one does it for that if they're doing it, but you will receive a crown. I'm not exactly sure what it is, about 6-7 crowns that's described in the Bible, but let me tell you, the Lord is watching what you do, holding you and I accountable to the things that we are doing or not doing. And the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to be left out of the things that God wants me to have and be. I want to tell you, this is all speaking about the gospel message here. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians Christians and saying, you guys, be disciplined, be excellent in it. You are going to have opportunity to win people to Jesus Christ. You are going to have opportunity to share the gospel to people that have no hope. I believe that here in Houston, our church, you and I, we have great opportunities for that. There's so many people, even in the city that is considered the most church city in the nation, there's so many people that don't know Jesus Christ. Those of you that are young, teenagers, you're in your classes and schools. I mean, teenagers are struggling to discover the value of life. They need to know that someone loves them. They need to know that Jesus Christ is there for them. You can share that. You have to live out your life in such a way, though, that they can be seen. The Apostle Paul goes on and speaks more. And as we move on into the weeks ahead, we will talk more about it. But you know what? He is so passionate about his faith. That's what we need to be. So passionate about faith. When you are passionate about your faith, let me tell you something. Your example is going to be more important than your words. Your children, and we're here in a family worship, your children is going to see you as fathers and mothers and say, you know what? I believe in Jesus because of my dad. I believe in Jesus because of my mom. I believe that Jesus is real and the gospel is real because of their marriage. I believe in all those things. And it's going to take efforts for you to do that. You have to be disciplined. You have to care. You have to say, you know what? I'm going to live out my life the way God wants me to live it out so that others, my children, my friends, my coworkers, can too, they too can come to know Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you. I want to thank you for the gospel, for your love, for the fact that you saved us. And Lord God, I pray that you will help us never to be settling with a participation trophy, that we will pursue the passion of the gospel like never before. Help us, Lord, to make a difference in the lives of others. Help us, Lord, in this way so that we can glorify you and bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.